to see so many faith-filled people in the house today. Hallelujah. Hi, everybody on live stream. Good to have you with us, family. Man, I am just so excited. I am so excited to praise and worship God right now. Are you guys excited to praise and worship God? Hallelujah. Boy, we've got so much room up here. We don't need to worry about proximity, amen? We are covered in the blood. Hallelujah. Come on up and fill the altar. I am so excited. Yeah, you're ready. You're always ready. I like you. Go ahead and raise your hands. And we're just going to decree and declare the word of God. Father, I thank you that your word says that your saving grace has no limits, God. That we are made to be whole in Jesus' name. We are made to praise and worship you, God. Your word says that no disease can come near our dwelling. And Lord, your Holy Spirit resides in us, so we are your dwelling this morning, Lord. That means no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack can rest on us in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go into some spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Come on, let me see you clap.
Attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
And this means war. This means war.
Come on and sing that with everything. Say,
this means war. This means war.
Sing, I got joy in my soul.
I got joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
Why?
This means war.
Hey! You can't. I plead, I plead, I plead the blood. Say, I plead the blood.
I plead, I plead the blood.
Oh, I plead the blood.
I plead, I plead the blood.
We're going back in and say, I plead the blood. Come on, look at your circumstances. Say, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
Say, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
No, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
No, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Say, you can't have my money.
You can't have my money.
No, you can't have my healing.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Miracle working, promise keeping, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
that, come on. You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
Come on, like you believe it.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
That's why to praise him. Oh, that is who you are, chain breaker. Come on, give me a reason. Oh, that is who you are, my King.
Miracle worker, promise keeper.
Come on and just speak right to him right now. His presence is here. Hallelujah. You're my way maker. I've seen your miracles, Jesus. You've made a way for me. You've made a way for me. You've made a way by your blood. Come on and worship him. Hallelujah. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. There is no one like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one like you. You
God Almighty. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Holy. Holy. Lord God Almighty, yeah. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Rabba kere le le mosha.
Holy,
holy. Jesus, Jesus, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we honor you this morning. Hallelujah. Someone on your left side, about 3 inches down from the armpit, you're having pain in there, and in the name of Jesus, I curse whatever the cause is. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Right now, I just bind you. Go. In the name of Jesus. And God will give you honor. Father, I thank you that this morning you care about every single situation and every single need in our life. Father, you are holy. You are high and lifted up. And thank you for allowing us to come into the very manifested presence of heaven. God, we give you honor. We lay our lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We declare it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Holy Spirit, live through us. Glorify the Father. Glorify the Father through our lives. Be ye holy. For I am holy, saith the Lord. God, we come out from among them. We will be separate. God, we declare in the name of Jesus that we will serve you with every fiber of our being. Lord, we will not turn to the right hand, to the left, but our hand will be to the plow, especially these last days. We're going to run this race to win. We're not going to walk. We're not going to shuffle, but God, we're going to run with all that's within us. And Jesus, we thank you that we have this tremendous privilege of serving your name. Right lung, one. Collarbone, 6 inches down. Over more towards the, it's in your breastbone area, but more a little bit to the right-hand side. About 6 inches down, 2 inches over. In the name of Jesus, you cursed thing. You have no right in the child of God. And I speak to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I command you to loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. I command right now the very power of heaven. Fire, burn that out in the name of Christ. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. God, we just want to say we love you. And we need you. We declare our need for you. Lord, not because you do things great things for you do, but simply because you're our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, manifest heaven on earth through us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I just have one more word of knowledge. It's on the right foot. Excuse me, right leg. I'm just going to point it to you. It's easy for me to point than to describe. It's right here. It's not on the bone. It's on the right-hand side of the bone. Right here. There it is, right there. If that's you, you just touch it right now. Get ready. Touch it. Go. In Jesus' name. And actually, when you bend over to touch it, you're going to feel your hip moving a little bit. That's been uncomfortable for you. God's healing your hip, too, as a bonus for healing the leg. In Jesus' name. Father, today as we get ready, Lord, to enter into your word, Lord, I thank you that you are a great God and worthy to be praised. And we choose to worship you with everything that we have. And everybody in agreement said,
amen.
Amen. We are not going to do meet and greet this morning. We want to give the bishop all the time that he needs. Make your way back to your chair this morning. We want to just encourage you. My wife and I want to pray with you real quick. Amen. We know there are many of you that are online and are watching. I think today we were at least 200 people shy than where we usually are. I know some of you, you're concerned, but we're going to pray. Amen. How many believe the power of prayer is stronger than any virus? What I love too about the Word of God is that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God, Jesus said in Psalms 107, I sent my word to heal you. And even while you're sitting in this room, healing is coming to your bodies. Amen. Our president has declared this to be a day of national prayer. And, you know, we're not a political church. How many of you know we're not a political church? We've never been. But I do love a president who's going to call the country to pray. And today we're going to pray. Amen. I'm going to have my wife pray.
Father, we just love you so much. So we're joining with our nation today as we all in unity are praying across this country. Father, I just pray for your peace that passes all understanding, just to dwell in the hearts and minds of your people. God, that it will rise up above everything else. We speak against the spirit of fear right now, actually that's gone to the place of torment, Lord. We bind up that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go from the body of Christ. Go from our families. Go from our homes. Go in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus that is above every other name that is named. We declare the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you are giving us wisdom and discernment to navigate these times, and that your children will rise up and be called blessed in these times, that we're going to see the rise of the church in this season. We thank you for it, Jesus, that you have caused us to be strong and mighty and victorious amid all these things. You have conquered the world. You've deprived it of its power to harm us, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious name. We just pray over the elderly and the shut-ins, God. Just put it on our hearts. Let us be your hands and feet in this season and this time. Our hands and feet that will go and bring them necessities, that will bring peace, that will bring love, that will bring joy in the midst of their being shut in and alone, God. Let the church be the body of Christ. Compel us to go forward in this time to those, the elderly and the shut-ins, Lord. Let us be the body of Christ, your hands extended, in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And protect the toilet paper. Hallelujah. Amen. We have some video announcements for you.
Easter's right around the corner, guys, and you know what that means. The biggest and best Easter egg hunt this area has ever seen. We're looking to collect 50,000 Easter eggs to stuff them so the kids can find them at all three of our campuses. Here's how you can help. Buy empty Easter plastic eggs and a whole bunch of candy. Drop them off by the kids' desk at each campus. We'll get them stuffed and we'll get them hid for the kids to find out on the field that day. Thank you so much.
What is up, guys? Are you in the grades 7 to 12? Well, I want to invite you out to our March Madness event. It will be on March 19th. We're having games, giveaways, come wearing your favorite sports merch.
And that same Thursday, we're starting our visitors competition.
Come on now.
So you guys do not want to miss a free trip to
Dave and Buster's.
So bring all your friends. Every person counts, including you guys. So we want to see you there.
That's right. And look, this is Ithaca, Mansfield, and Horseheads. Ithaca, you're starting on Wednesday night. Mansfield and Horseheads, Thursday night. 6:30 6:30. Do not miss it. It's going to be the best event, and the most important thing, you're going to grow closer to Jesus. We love you guys. We'll see you there.
My name is Pastor Michael Spencer from His Tabernacle Family Church. This is my beautiful granddaughter, Sophia, and my grandson, Julian, and we're excited because of the Great Egg Hunt. Yay! April 11th at 10 a.m., these fields are going to be loaded with children excited to hear and see the eggs. I believe they're going to have almost 50,000 eggs this year. You don't want to miss it. It's for your family. Go to our website for more information, histabernacle.com.
Awesome. Wow. Praise God. Yeah, you give me the microphone and tell me to pray, Pastor, and then you try to stop me from praying. I'm sorry. I could pray all day long.
That's all, yeah.
He was tapping me on the back. I'm like, oh, I got a lot to say, Lord. But as we enter into this time of worship that is our tithes and offerings, how many of you are so thankful in this season and on this day to be a tither? That our finances are not dwelt in the natural, but they dwell in the supernatural. That no matter what comes our way, our finances are protected by the covenant of Jesus Christ. Our finances are supernatural. In times of famine and recession, we increase. We don't decrease as the children of God. We see it all through the Word. So it is an exciting season to be a tither and a sower in the house of God. And if you've never been a tither, it is a great day to start being a tither. Because His Word says in Hebrews 4 that it is quick and powerful. It is active. So today, start being a tither and you can have the promises of Malachi 3 that He'll rebuke the devourer, that He'll open the windows of heaven. Listen, manna will come from heaven if it has to. Do not be afraid. Manna will come. Listen, you'll go out fishing and open a fish's mouth and pull a coin out in this season if need be. You do not have to be afraid. When you're in God's economy, you are protected and sheltered, and we get to participate with that. So today is one of the most exciting offering days for me because I am a part of the supernatural kingdom of God, and my finances function through the kingdom of God, not this natural realm. Amen. Provision is coming. Provision. Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider. My God shall supply all of my needs according to the economy. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. And they walk on streets of gold up there. There's no lack in the kingdom of God. So if you're excited to give this morning, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is the Bible. We're going to quote it over our money. In this house, we bring our finances forward to the kingdom of God, and we repeat the word of God. So as you're saying this, this is not just words. You're prophesying. You're speaking over your money and your finances. So let's say it like we mean it today. Let me hear you blow the doors off this place, because we are protected by our Jehovah Jireh. Deuteronomy 28 says, repeat after me, If I obey, I am blessed going in.
I am blessed going in.
I am blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I am blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down.
The blessings have chased me down.
They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're staying home today, we honor you. We love you. We miss you in the house. But you can give right online with us. So right now, go click on the giving button. Or I believe on the screen, you can even text to give your tithes and offerings, keeping it in the supernatural economy of God today.
I got joy.
I love it.
I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all this well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
This means war. Amen. Can I give a special shout out to our sound and media team? They do so much. Everybody who's watching online, you should give an extra shout out there because they're here and faithful. You're able to watch. And I just want to thank God for them. They are so faithful. Pastor Kevin and his team, whole team, you're just tremendous people. And we just want to say we love you. Amen. How many of you notice we have our baptismal tank over here? Our new baptismal tank has come in. Terry's going to be building around that. This week we're going to have a baptismal tank. That's where it will actually be situated instead of up front. And we won't have to worry about the leaks and flooding the house. Amen. So I don't know about you. I just thank God for authority. Well, no one's going to tell me what to do. You're dumb. When you're not willing to submit to a level of authority in your life, you are foolish. Amen. Everybody's got to be under authority. Everybody. Somebody that's not under authority is rogue and a renegade. And some of you like to be rogue and renegade. The problem with that is the blessings of God aren't on that. Amen. I want to remind you what Lucifer caused. His whole thing was about, I'm going to be rogue, I'm going to be a renegade, I'm going to be the top dog. He didn't want to submit to authority. And I want you to know in this house, we believe in authority. My wife and I have submitted ourselves to Bishop Rick Thomas and Pastor Kathy Thomas as our pastors. And this church is under them. And with that, if the bishop called me tomorrow and said, you need to sit down on the front row, you're done pastoring, I can't say that I'd be happy. But I do want you to know that I would submit to him and sit on the front row. Because everybody needs to be submitted. And I'd be sitting right there, Brother Chris, right there. You need to be submitted. And this is what I love about spiritual authority. It puts you in alignment with success. Where there is no spiritual authority, there cannot be success. For the anointing flows from the head down, not the feet up. And a two-headed man is always a monster. Amen. So I thank God for spiritual authority. Turn to someone and say, I thank God for spiritual authority. And I thank God for Bishop Rick and Pastor Kathy Thomas. They are our spiritual authority. And if you will welcome our bishop, pastor, doctor, where are you the rest of? Bishop Rick Thomas.
Let's all stand together. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, but keep standing for a moment. We're going to do something here. I love being here. I love this family. And I love this family. I was sharing with Pastor Ron in between services that when I come here, I feel like I'm preaching at home. I really do. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of your family here. It's just a thrill whenever I get a chance to come. My wife sends her best and let you know, to tell everybody we love them. And she's home kind of helping hold down. I laughed. We were on the front. My son was up there, and he was up there preaching. And somebody says to me, he's fearless. I said, yeah, because he's got mom on the front row. And mama hen's protecting everything. You know what I mean? But we've been so blessed in our relationship with each and every one of you, as well as your pastors here. But I want us to pray right now. I want you to put your hands over your chest, if you would, please. Father, I thank you for your presence and your power and your glory that is released in this house. The supernatural manifestation, Father God, of signs and wonders and miracles that is bestowed upon each and every one. Father, I'm declaring the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm declaring, Father God, that the enemy, as we've already talked about, we've already heard the song about, the blood of Jesus is upon our lives. Therefore, Father, we know we operate in a dimension that the enemy cannot and will not be able to defeat. I ask now, Holy Spirit, you will move upon each and every heart, every life, that we might have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind to understand. And touch my life one more time, I pray. Father, that you will use me as a vessel through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the name of Jesus will be exalted, that lives will be transformed, and we give you glory and honor. Name above every name, Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Let's celebrate the presence of the Lord one more time. Glory. Thank you so much. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask, I didn't do this first service, but Reese, why don't you come up? This is one of my sons in the Lord, and him and Jenya are very much a part of our family. His kids, I'm their grandparents. Yeah, with everybody else, it's kind of unique when you see our families come together because people go, what do you mean he's your son? Well, he's my son. Quit looking at the outside. Amen. Amen. I know he's tall and I'm short. Oh, you mean he's black and I'm white. Oh, I got it. Okay. I thought maybe he was tall and I was short, and you say, how can that be my son? He is an incredible man of God. And why don't you take a moment to share with him, Reese?
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Amen. I'm looking at a church this morning that's not fearful, but we're fearless in Jesus' name. Amen. First service we were sitting in, we leaned over to each other. I know you've all heard all churches are closing down and all the above, but we looked over at each other and we said, man, I'm glad to be around a company of people that actually believe the word.
Yeah, amen.
I said believe the word, not the world. Amen. Amen. And so it's just good to be in the house. I just want to say what David said. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's safety in his presence. There's comfort in his presence. There's joy. Y'all ain't going to help me. There's joy in his presence. And in his presence, there's a fullness of what?
Joy.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're listening. Well, praise God. We're happy to be here. I am a little bit disappointed because, again, every time we come here, it's always really, really cold. So last night, from the car, the front of the car to the doors of the hotel, I almost froze. I just want to let you know, this is a leap of faith for us to be here. He's okay with it. I'm not. But in Jesus' name, I'm obedient. Amen? So we're glad to be here. And we're here, and just we just believe that God's going to do something miraculous. He's already done it in the first service. This service will be no different. And we're here for a couple of days, and we're just going to believe God, that God's going to release a word upon this house, that at the conclusion of this time together, that people's lives are going to be forever changed. I don't believe that we gather in church for a temporary, momentary visitation from God. I believe that God gathers us together so that we can be supernaturally charged, so that when we leave this place, we expand the parameters of the kingdom of God on this earth. Amen. And so we're glad to be here. And I just want to make mention of this for a couple seconds, is that Bishop bought some resources. How many people have never heard Bishop preach? Raise your hand. Don't be scared. Amen. There's a couple newbies. I love it. I love it. I love it. You guys are in for a treat today. I'm just going to spoil some thunder real quick. Bishop wrote about 7 books. He's on, I think he has 10 books will be done at the conclusion of this year, because he has 3 more in the works, 2 or 3 more in the works. And we brought a couple today. Yeah, clap, yeah, praise your hand.
Yeah.
Praise God. We brought a couple of books with us today. I'm just going to rattle them off real quick. They're out in the foyer. Please make yourself available. I don't have time to teach you all this information. If you heard Bishop preach or you know his material, it's a lot of goodness. And it takes time to digest and get it in your system. But when you do, the fruit is inevitable. I said the fruit is inevitable. You're looking at a guy. I don't have time to tell you my testimony, but 20 years ago, I came to the body of Christ. I came in broken, busted, and disgusted, and now God has done things in my life because I allowed the word to get on the inside of me that God's put in his heart and change everything about me. Somebody say Jesus changes everything.
Jesus changes everything.
And so we brought some resources, the same material that you'll hear from this morning a little bit of. Is in these books. This book right here is called Significant Seed, Perpetual Harvest. It's been translated over 8 different languages. It's all throughout the world. You'll hear a testimony probably this morning about how the information, the message that God has given Bishop, which is Seed Time and Harvest, is in this book. And it not only works in the most affluent places, but it works in the most impoverished places. Amen? How many people know that his will for your life is not that you would be in lack or in poverty? God came, he sent his son that you may have life and have it more. That means overflowing in every capacity. Amen.
Right.
And so the keys and tools and practical keys are in this book. It's called Significant Seed, Perpetual Harvest. It comes alongside a workbook. So for people that really like to go deep in the word, there's more of that there. His most recent book is called Speaking to the Void. This book today speaks volumes to my life, because there's a punchline in here that I love. It says, how to speak to every chaotic situation that the world has to offer. How many people need to speak to some voice today? Okay? And if you watched the news in the last 7 days, if you have read the cover page of this book, you have enough anointing on your life to speak to that person right next to you and your neighbor and calm their storms. Amen.
Amen.
But God's giving you and I creative ability inside of our tongue to not only call a thing so, but to declare a thing so. Meaning that you get to say what God said about a thing. Amen?
Yes.
And so this comes with a workbook as well. And he also has a book called Your Path to Plenty. Say your path.
Your path.
How many people know that God has a purpose, a design, and a structure for your life specifically? God did not make you to just fit in. He made you to stand out.
That's right.
And you have a success plan in God's regiment for your life. And it's found in his word. And Bishop just kind of takes some practical keys in unlocking the powerful things of God, the powerful authority that God has given you through these books. So make yourself available. Check these out at the resource table. We can be a blessing to you. Let us know. And yeah, we have some USB teachings with about, I think, 15 messages I packed into these USBs. And so if you want to hear more of what you're about to hear right now, there's several resources in the lobby. Make yourself available to these resources. And yeah, it's going to be a good day in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Reese. Wow. Now, wait till you have a chance to hear him preach. You know, I was laughing. We were in the back and we were talking about how, you know, when our sons preach and people say, man, they like them better than us. You know, it really hurts my feelings. But I'm joking. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm excited that that is the case, to be very honest with you. Because I want them, you understand, I want them to be able to have more, if you will, than I ever had. I want my ceiling to be their floor. That's really important. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be with you. I want to share some things with you today. It's exciting. There's some people who have never heard me speak. I have to tell you, you're going to get a different volume of me today. Because of what's going on, I felt like I needed to address some issues and some things. First off, I'm a pastor, and through the privilege and the grace and the mercy of God, I've had the privilege to establish 26 churches around the country and the world. We've had the privilege to see a lot of young men and women raised up for the kingdom, and I thank God for that. And so, as a bishop, we have entered into a season that it's kind of crazy because we're in a transition season in our church that my son is beginning to move more and more into that direction. Over the next several years, he'll be pastoring the church. And I see myself more traveling and doing things of that nature. And because of that calling on my life, I feel today we need to look at some things in a very different way. I'm going to talk about the issues of today, and we're going to tie it into a message. God gave us a message on New Year's Eve for this year. A word, we call it the Word of the Lord that we give every year in our church. And as we begin to go over it, I've had friends from around the country and around the world that we would get on the phone and talk about going to the new year and what's God saying to you. And I was fascinated how almost everybody was in harmony with what God gave me for the year. So I thank God I heard from God, because the mouth of two or three witnesses, a fact is established. And it's just not me doing my thing. And you always get concerned because you want to make sure. You say, well, I thought you heard from God. I did hear from God, but it's always nice to know that other people also, you know. And so we're going to be sharing that with you. But before we get there, we want to go into some areas that I think are very necessary that we look at. And so I'm going to go over some numbers with you, and we're going to get into our scriptures, and we're going to talk about some things today. But you know, in our world today, the system seemingly has been attacked in a lot of areas, and people today are not in church today because of this virus. They didn't come because of this virus. The world is shaken because of this virus. It's been shaken economically. It's been shaken socially. I mean, when you look at Italy and see that the streets are empty over there because of this virus, when you see what is going on around the world system, and I want to talk to you about that, because I think when we finish today, you're going to find out all of this stuff is not about the virus. It's something much larger than that. And it's about the control of mankind. It's about how they can do something here, especially that's never been done in the United States before, by which we are controlled by a government it, rather than the government being controlled by the people. And, it, you know, when it takes something like this to cause people to say, okay, we'll let you tell us what to do. And so, I mean, you know, you're incarcerating people in sections in the sections of the city of New York that they take and put a thing around it. They can't come in. They can't go out. And this is in America, folks. This is in the home of free. And so you say, well, we got to protect one another. Well, let's talk about that, because I believe numbers are a funny thing. And we're going to find out whether they're really protecting us or whether they're using this as something to try and change things in our lives. And it's a worldwide thing that's going on. And it has a lot to do with politics, not Democrat and Republican, but political politics worldwide, whether it's dealing with Russia, whether it's dealing with China, whether it's dealing with Iran or any of the other places in the world. There's something going on here that is the world is trying to come in and take over. You know, they came out just a couple weeks ago, the UN were like, all churches worldwide to submit all of themselves under the UN, and they'll tell us how we can run and what we can preach and what we can do. And I'm just telling you what's going on out there, folks. We had political candidates running this year. Ed Buttigieg, when he came out, he has a Bible that he's writing right now that's changing the scriptures to justify homosexuality in the LGBT community. And he's saying that the people who wrote the Bible in the New Testament, many of them were farmers and fishermen. And they were ignorant. They didn't know what they were saying. Come on, stay with me, folks. See, whether you know that or not, that this is something he's working on. He's trying to come out now with getting a gathering that where we'll begin to understand that anybody who teaches their children the faith, word of faith, the word of God, that and talks about those things being not of God and not being godly, that it's wrong, then you are in child abuse and we can take your children out of your family. Come on, stay with me here, folks. I'm going somewhere with this. And we base it on numbers that are not true. We're told one thing, but it's another thing. Say, what has that got to do with the kingdom of God? I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. Because either we're going to believe the word of God or we're going to believe the word of man. Amen. Either we're going to follow Jesus or we're going to follow the system in this world. Amen. And understand, the God of this world wants control of us. But I remind you that when the God of this world came to Jesus, and Jesus said, we will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is important that we as a church understand it. You already understand it. You're sitting here today. That's not a negative for those that are home that didn't make it. I understand. But I need to address this issue, especially as a leader in the body of Christ, as a bishop or an overseer. I have to go and talk to the churches that we have with us and talk to the leadership, because we're not going to be pulled in to what is going on. Now, number one, we're not saying the virus is not real. It is. We're not saying that it cannot kill. It can. We're not saying that there is not a problem with it. There is a problem with it. But let's look at that a moment. Let's talk about some things. And this is very simple. I just went on my iPad last night and pulled these things up. Very, very simple if you just take time to look and read. But the most Americans do not. I said most Americans do not. In the United States, 2,800 cases of the coronavirus have been established. There may be more today, but as of last night, 2,800 cases. 57 deaths in 49 states. Globally, there's been 155,000 cases reported. 58, and you need to mark that now, 5,800 deaths. This is worldwide, globally, in 141 countries. 80% of the cases have been mild. Most at risk are medical staff, people who already have an illness of some kind, or older adults. Now keep that in the back of your mind. Now let's look at the flu for a moment. The flu this year, there's been 40,000 deaths in 2017, 60,000 deaths in 2018. This is in America, not worldwide. 12,000 deaths between October 1st, 2019 and February 1st, 2020. 1,200 deaths. World Health Organization estimates flu will kill 290 to 650,000 people a year. 31 million Americans contacted the flu this year already. CDC says 5,000 people have died in the last 2 weeks from the flu. Did you get that number? Worldwide, 5,800 deaths since they've contacted the coronavirus since January. In the last 2 weeks, 5,000 deaths from the flu. It's important we get hold of something here. Center for Disease says it has not reached the epidemic threshold yet. Now understand, this hasn't reached it, but the 2,800 cases, 57 deaths, 155,000 cases, 5,800 worldwide, it is a pandemic thing, but this has not reached that level yet. I mean, it is 10, 15 times more, but it's not reached it yet. You know why? They said because we are so used to the flu that they can't use that, so they've got something new that nobody knows about, so they can use that. The coronavirus has shut down the world. I said it shut down the world. 280,000 have been hospitalized with the flu since February 22. Understand, 280,000 as of February 22 this year, 280,000 have been hospitalized. But the coronavirus has shut down the world. Fascinating to me. It shut down the United States of America. The coronavirus has placed fear and panic in the hearts of people across our nation. It has shut down schools, shut down our universities, shut down our preschools, as well as our parks. It shut down the NBA. It shut down the NFL. It shut down the PGA. It shut down the LPGA. It shut down Broadway. It shut down Disney. It shut down Madison Square Garden. It's shut down the cruise lines. It shut down the international travel. And guess what? It seeks to shut down the churches. Yes, it does. Now, when you look at those numbers, just stay with me. I'm not being out here and putting my head in the sand. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. The numbers do not match up. But most people don't take time to find out what's going on. So what do? We run to the stores and we empty the shelves. Because we're so afraid. And I've often wondered about that. I mean, how much food, if people are planning on being quarantined for 14 days. I mean, we're gearing up for it. And whatever man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's a fascinating thing to me. You know, we talk about the toilet paper shortage. And we recently were talking about it. He knows someone that works for Walmart. We come to find out the reason there's a shortage is not because people are just running in buying it all. It's just that a lot of it comes from China and it can't get in. Guess what? China's controlling that. Really, I wonder why. I guess they didn't like the trade talks. But see, we stick our head in the sand, and we have got to understand, numbers don't lie, people do. You never forget that. Numbers are not the liars. It's the people who try and change them around or use them for themselves. They don't want you to know the numbers. When the head of CDC says that it's going to be okay, we should believe him. If he says it's going to be bad, then it's bad. But we don't do that. We listen to the commentators. We listen to other people. We take things out of context. We make it political. The reason we make it political, because political keeps people divided. If we keep people divided, then we can rake and take care of everything. The moment people stay in unity, they can't control you. Now, that's from the natural standpoint. But this year, God gave us a word of the Lord, and we got to make our decision. Either we're going to believe God or we're going to believe the world. You got to get that in your spirit. Either I'm going to believe God, I'm going to believe the world. We're putting a book together right now that'll come out this year. We call it The Uncultured. Because the body of Christ really lives in an uncultured society in the kingdom of God. Because we say we believe one thing, but we live another way. Come on, stay with me, folks. I mean, when we talk about pray without ceasing, we don't do that. When we talk about in prayer and supplication in everything we do, we don't do that. We know that we're to pursue peace, but we don't do that. We know that we're to pray without ceasing, and like I said, and we don't do that. We know we're to pray one for another, but we only do it on occasion. Oh, come on, stay with me, folks. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. We know we're supposed to hide the word of God in our heart, but we do it when we get a chance. Amazing, isn't it? We say one thing, but we believe another. See, we know God is a good God. We know that God loves us, that God wants to bless us. We know that if we're in Christ, we're Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. That's over in Galatians 3:29. If I'm in Christ, I'm Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. We know the promise is that Abraham was blessed so he could bless others. But yet we fight against prosperity and forgetting the fact that if I don't prosper, I can't bless somebody. And prosperity is not about money, it's about lifestyle. It has nothing to do with how much money I got in my pocket. It has nothing to do with the house I live in, the car I drive. It has with whether I can minister to other people or not. The Bible says that we have to glorify God, bear fruit so he can be glorified. Book of John chapter 15. He says we bear fruit, God is glorified in our fruit. So the first reason we want to prosper is because we want to glorify God. We want to bear fruit to glorify God. The second reason we want to prosper so we can take care of our family. A man that won't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. I've got to feed my kids. I got to clothe my kids. I got to take care of my wife. I want to educate them. I want to take care of them and make them feel secure. And so I've got to believe God to prosper me, because God said that he would prosper me in Psalms chapter 1. He'll put me by the river and everything I do will prosper. Just go over there and read it for yourself. He said this, that Jesus, in the book of 2 Corinthians over there, in the 8th chapter, he said this. He said that Jesus, by the grace of God, Jesus took our poverty that we might be made rich. Now, we don't believe that, because we only believe that any man being Christ is a new creation. See, we like to pick and choose, like I said, the uncultured world. We like to pick from what we want to believe and the other we don't want to, because it's hard for us. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said to me, you prosperity preachers, you guys, you all just need to be exposed. I said, I wish there was. I wish I could get more exposure right now than I have. Because I want you to know, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to bless somebody else. I'm not talking around, like I said, a big bank account. You can have a big bank account. Nothing wrong with that. God will give some people the ability to make a lot of money because he's anointed them and given them a purpose in life to finance the kingdom and to be a blessing to others. Now, you understand not everybody's going to be in that position. You see what I'm saying? Now, you know, not everybody's going to make the money that some people are going to make, but they still can be very prosperous in their life. They still have good success. My attitude is this. If I'm a sanitation engineer, I'm going to be the best guy picking up garbage you've ever seen. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be doing it. And they're going to give me raises simply because I'm happy picking up garbage. Some of you are looking like kind of strange. If I'm going to be dig a ditch, I'm going to be the best ditch digger. I believe I can prosper in what I do. Either I can get mad because I'm digging, or I can get excited going, I don't know, when we get this thing dug, look what's going to happen. See, because God's always about the future. And when you understand prosperity is always looking at the future and never looking over the shoulder. It's always about what is going to be rather than what is. It's always about what you can do rather than what you haven't done. Amen. Prosperity never puts you in a position to make excuses. It puts you in a position that you can declare a thing so. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen? And so when we look at that this year, the word of the Lord began to move upon me. He spoke to me about this. And so I want to share that with you today, because since you are under a covering, I feel like from the head to the beard, to the skirts of the garment, and it's imperative that we are all on the same page. And so you're going to hear a little bit. Most of you know I teach seed time and harvest. I believe that everything in life requires a seed. Someone said to me, well, I don't believe that. I said, quit breathing. Because you can't take another breath till you give it the one that you have. Think about that a moment. Everything in life requires an action that creates a reaction. If God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Who is Jesus? He's the incorruptible seed of the word of God. He gave his son as a seed. Why? Because he wanted a family. God, and by the way, you never sow without an anticipation of harvest. God gave his son because he expected a harvest. You understand. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He expected harvest, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. I expect. Oh, come on, stay with me here. John 15, he says, if you don't bear fruit, I'm going to cut you down and put you in the fire. I didn't say that. The word of God says that. You understand. God wants us to increase in every area of our lives. You can't stay in a one position. You got to move ahead. And you can. And I made up my mind, I will never be satisfied. I'm in my 50th year of ministry, and I'm as unsatisfied today as the day I began. Someone said, what do you mean you're unsatisfied? I'm totally at peace with God and satisfied with what God's doing in my life, but I'm not satisfied with what my life can produce. Amen. I still got some things I need to get done. You understand? There's still some churches I got to build. There's still some young men and women I got to raise up in ministry. There's still some missions I've got to reach out to. There's still some hungry I got to feed. There's still some people that God wants me to help. And because of that, I can't be satisfied with what I got. You understand? Problem with Christianity is a lot of times we get set in our ways. We allow the traditions to alter the power of God in our lives. Because the power of God is so you can go from glory to glory. Come on, tell somebody. He's not preaching yet. I'm not. But I'm trying to set you up to understand something. We've got to get practical in this thing, folks. But I usually teach seed time and harvest, because seed time and harvest is a lifestyle. That's right. Seed time and harvest in every area. The pastor said it earlier in the early service, but that life is in a seed. And whatsoever you sow, it produces. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I refuse. We walked around yesterday in Walmart. We walked around and saw people are scrambling around there And I thought to myself, how sad this is. Such panic and such fear over something that is minuscule compared to what I just talked about. Now, we don't know what it's going to be. No, I don't. But I'm not going to try and make up something. You understand? And so let's look at the word of the Lord versus the things we just heard about with the coronavirus. Number one, we find going into this year, when God spoke to us, he came to us and he said to us, he said, you go to the people and you tell them some things that they need to understand. You tell them some things that they need to not just understand, but they need to make a part of their life. John 7, verses 37 through 38 says this, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me and on the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, let's look at that for a moment. Because God said this year, he spoke to me, he said this year, the Holy Spirit is beginning to flow as never before. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so we entitled the word of the Lord this year, simply Flow 2020. Now, as we look at this, I'm going to give you that in a moment. But let's look at this verse in the Amplified Bible. If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in, relies on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being, springs and rivers of living water shall flow continuously. I said it will flow continuously. So it's got to be a lifestyle. It cannot be something that in a moment. See, our problem in America is this. We teach people about moments. You understand? And I love moments, and I thank God for memories, but I can't live in my memories, and I can't live in my moments. You understand? I mean, I was there when my daughter was born. I was there when my son was born. I was at the hospital when they ran out and said that my daughter had given birth to her kids. I was there when he ran out and said my son and daughter-in-law have given birth to our next granddaughter. It was wonderful. They're wonderful moments. At Christmas, we make moments. They're wonderful. But I don't live on last year's moment. Amen. But we've had people to get so satisfied in the moments, they forget that the moments are only a moment. Right. Amen. And so we got to move beyond that because God is continuously doing something in us. The word of the Lord said to me, well, this year will be a year my spirit will be released for a season unlike the church has seen. Souls to be saved unlike we've ever experienced in our lifetime. You can see more souls saved in his tabernacle than in the history of this church. You can see more outreaches. God's going to do a supernatural thing this year. Miracles are going to take place. You're going to see more signs and wonders and miracles. And the word is going to get out that if you need a miracle, you better show up at his tabernacle. Amen. It's a year of divine favor. Incredible favor this year. People who said no in the past are going to say yes. People you wouldn't talk to you in the past are going to talk to you this year. People that wouldn't open a door for you are going to be blowing them open for you this year. It's going to be a year of prosperity, supernatural manifestation of God's favor upon your life so you can walk in prosperity and success. In your home, on the job, and with your neighbors and with your friends. The impossible will become possible. The lost shall be found. The broken will be made whole. The supernatural will become a lifestyle and not an event. Oh God, let the supernatural be a lifestyle and not an event. Let me be going down the road on my Harley, and as I ride by, somebody who was sick in the car gets healed. Does that work? We're laughing. Peter's shadow fell on people and he healed them. Stephen waited on table and people got healed. Why can't you ride on your Harley and have somebody get healed? Walk in a Walmart and somebody run up to you and say, my God, I don't know who you are, but something about you.
That's right.
This is a year of the supernatural, folks. Amen. And it cannot be, listen to me, it cannot be event motivated. It's got to be a lifestyle motivation. It's imperative that we see that. You cannot allow your problems to be a voice in your future. I will place my favor upon you, so live with expectation, even in the presence of your enemies. Now, as we look at this, we begin to understand that he said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, where does that come from? I had to do a study on that as the Lord gave us that word. And the reality is the Old Testament is a type and shadow of what God does in the New Testament. When you go to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1, you understand that when God created, and I don't have time to get into all of that, it's in our Speaking to the Void book, but the reality is in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it was created. We go to the next verses, the earth was without form and void, and then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep of darkness, and then God said, and then God created, and we call it the 7 days of creation. It's not the 7 days of creation, it's the 7 days of putting back together what the enemy had dismembered. The word void doesn't mean there's nothing there. It means it's so chaotic you cannot identify anything. Hello, stay with me, folks. God was not recreating in Genesis. We call it creation. He was not. He was, because in Genesis chapter 1, it was already created. If you study that verse out, in the beginning God created, it meaning it was complete. If it was complete, everything that we see on earth, it was already done. They believe that Satan, when he got cast out of heaven in the book of, I talked about the book of Isaiah, he got cast down. He got cast down to earth. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven to earth. He said, I saw him like lightning fall to the earth. So he wreaked havoc on what God did. Why? Because he tries to destroy everything God's done because he didn't want anybody to see God. Amen. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, the face of the deep. And God began to put it all back together again. And then in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it says that there was no one to till the ground, no one to protect it. And so he said, I'll create a man. So he created mankind. And of course, he created both of them, male and female, image and likeness. But he talked about how he did each one. And here he says that he took man and he formed him from the dust of the ground. One translation talks about he took man and he hand squeezed him like in clay. Hand squeezed man and made him like in clay. When he made the woman, the word made woman is as he skillfully handcrafted her. Ladies, that's a chance for you to say amen. You're skillfully handcrafted. We're squeezed. Why is that? Because God said, I'll create them to surround and aid you with assistance. It's called helpmate, one that surrounds and aids with assistance. That's why they're more sensitive than us, guys. That's why they can withstand pain better than us. Because they got to tolerate us. I don't have time to get a marriage counseling now. But let's move on. And then God put him in the garden. I said, God put him in the garden. Now, you have to understand that the garden's a type and shadow of what God does in to us in the New Testament. You see, the Bible says that the spirit of man, the book of Proverbs, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. So when we receive Jesus, Jesus comes into our lives. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. He quickens our mortal body. So the spirit of God was in us, and where the spirit of God is in us, that's where the garden is. So you literally, you're not going to find the Garden of Eden in the natural because it's supposed to be a spiritual thing. It's within you. Now, in the garden, there was a river there. And in that river, it flowed in different directions, in four separate directions. The river, when it flowed out, it flowed into four different directions. So the one river has four. So you have the river of God in you, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And when it flows out, it goes in different directions. Praise God. In the places it flowed to, the Bible says it flowed to places. And it said in one area, there was places of gold and all kinds of precious stone. Another place where you can find oil and things like that. That's not the point. The rivers flowed to where you could find success and prosperity. Amen. It flowed to where you could find healing and stability. Now watch this now. The rivers meant this. The one river out of Eden, Pishon, means increase. Gihon means to burst forth. Then there's something that just, and all of a sudden, bang, there it is. It's almost like a big explosion. The other one is rapid. It means that whatever God's doing, it's moving at a rapid pace. Praise God. And then the last one was Euphrates, and that is fruitfulness. So he says this. He says, number one, you can expect this year, as the rivers flow out of you, that it's, everything you do is going to begin to increase. I said, everything you do is going to increase. My job, I'm going to increase. In my ability to witness, it's going to increase. In my ability to see miracles, it's going to... Listen, I got to wake up in the morning looking for increase. I'm looking for my wife and I to love each other more than we've ever loved each other before. I'm looking to have a greater relationship with my kids than I've ever had before. I'm looking to have a greater relationship with my church than I've ever had before. But I'm looking to have a greater relationship and increase in my relationship with the world system. I want to increase in souls saved and lives changed and miracles wrought. It's my year of increase. Wherever I go, I'm looking for increase. Amen. Say, well, I don't know about that, Bishop. Well, it's just a little simple story over in the book of Samuel with David. And David's been anointed king, right? Then he goes back and watches the sheep, which means timing is everything. Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you're really to be appointed. A lot of people get anointed, they think that's appointment. It's not.
That's
right. I can't teach on that either. That's spiritual authority too. Watch this now. But he goes, his father says, go check on your brothers. They're at war. War. Go over and look at what war. They're hiding behind rocks.
Right.
You can't have a war unless you're fighting somebody. Goliath's coming out and challenging everybody, and they're hiding behind rocks. So David said, what's going on? What is wrong with you people? God be for us, who can be against us? Are you kidding me, this uncircumcised Philistine? So then he makes a great statement. He says, what does the man get for killing the king, killing this giant? Isn't it important? He said, it's not about, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, I can kill the giant. It's not the problem. The problem is, I'm not going to do it for nothing. It's a year of increase. I'm not going to pray because I don't want God to answer my prayer. I'm not going to lay hands on the sick because I don't want God to heal somebody. Don't give me this stuff if it be thy will. Don't even pray your prayer over me. God's will is by his stripes we are healed. He sent his word and he healed them. Call the elders of the church and anoint them with all. Healing is of the Bible, not of the world or religious system.
Amen.
Everybody look at somebody else and say, increase. Increase in your knowledge, increase in your understanding, increase in the anointing. Increase.
Amen, amen.
And it's going to happen. It's going to be times, it's just going to happen. I said, it's just going to happen. It's awesome. I've had people come to me and go, we just walked into the church and they started the music, and before I got to my seat, I got healed. It just burst forth. Just burst forth. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking for stuff just to happen. I'm looking just to be blessed. Praise God. Had someone the other day, they in our ministry and stuff through the years, and had a great relationship with them, and they sent a little card to us and tell us how much they appreciate us and all that, and I opened it up, and there's $500 bills. Just burst forth. I said, I like this. Praise God. I've seen people get healed. I've seen people get blessed. It just, boom. And you got to get ready for that. Don't be surprised. I can't believe. Oh, I can believe it. There's nothing I can't believe anymore. So when it happens. Praise God. I'm anticipating it anyway. And he says that what we do for the kingdom this year is going to move rapidly. Well, God spoke to me to do this. Well, what are you doing? I'm praying about it. Stop it. You should have already prayed about it before you got it. But now that you got it, move with it. God moves expeditiously. Praise God. Say, he's slow to move. No, it's slow for you to get in position. Once you get in position, he moves. Well, I don't know about that, but why don't you study the children of Israel? 40 years to get in position. But the moment they got in position, you're in the promised land.
Amen.
Praise God. He moves rapidly. The waters part, they go over to the promised land. Any enemies, they're defeated. Come on. You have to position yourself. Tell somebody, you got to position yourself. And then last but not least, he says fruitfulness. Everything I do has got to bear fruit. I said, everything I do has to bear, is a reason for why I do it. It has to bear fruit. My purpose in life is that I can bear fruit. God says, I am glorified when you bear fruit, John 15. He says, I'm glorified when you bear fruit. It's important you understand, God gets excited about you being productive in your life. And so I always look when I do things, I don't care what it is. I know this sounds crazy to some people, but I absolutely do nothing without anticipation. You mean when you shake hands with people? Absolutely. I do it with anticipation. God, if they've got something in their lives that they need healing, let it be healed. But if they got something in my life that I need, let it come to me.
Amen.
When you shake hands with me and I shake hands with you, you open a door of going over. In other words, you build a bridge. Whew. And I got news for you. I anticipate no matter who I'm with, I'm always looking for a result.
Amen.
Praise God. I want fruit. I said, I want fruit. You say, well, that's selfish. Yeah, it is. I'm selfish for the things of God. I said, I'm selfish for the things of God. Is that fair enough? I'm not selfish for me, because it's never about me. There's never been anything in my life that's ever been about me. And I can say that because my wife and I, through the years, we've been blessed in so many areas. But on the other hand, we practice one principle in our lives. We have nothing in our lives we can't give away but each other. Now be careful when you make those statements. Because we've had to give away a house, we've had to give away cars, we've had to empty our bank accounts many times. But look at where I am now. My house is paid for, my car is paid for, I'm blessed. I got no debt. I got my retirement funded. God's blessed me beyond measure. I can stand up here and boast on the things of God all day long. Not me, but the things of God. You know why? Because I still don't have anything. If he said, give it, it's gone. And that's not easy, folks. I said, that's not easy. Because I'm telling you right now, sometimes you got to take authority over yourself. You understand? But I know this, there's nothing that God's ever asked me to do that he didn't have another harvest in mind for me. He didn't have something else in mind for me. And I needed to get in position doing this so that now he can bring the fruit in my life that he has for me. Praise God. 2020 is the start of a new decade. It's a year that I'm going to restore the identity of the church. See, we've lost our identity in the world today. We really have. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've become people that are known as denominations. But not as the church. The world doesn't look at us that way anymore. They go, oh, they believe that, or they believe that, or they stand for this, or they stand for that. No, we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the blood-bought church. Jesus shed his blood. He died on the cross, was resurrected from the dead, that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. We are a church. It's not a matter of his tabernacle or anything. We are the people of God. We are the church of the living God, and we need to begin to find our identity in him. This year, I'm going to move into your life with authority. And my authority will be released upon your command. Say, well, I got all authority in heaven and earth been given out of Jesus. Oh, really? It has. But he's given it unto you. But we've not lived in authority. Now, I'm going to tell you what we've done. And here's how the enemy has done it. We come together and we have great meetings and we see the power of God, right? And that's wonderful. The problem is, it's not the power that we're short of, it's the authority and knowing how to use the power. So we've relegated the power to special meetings rather than to lifestyle. When we learn to operate in authority, these signs follow them that believe. When we learn to operate in authority, you don't have to cast out demons, they see you coming. And they know that if they don't leave, you got the power for them to go. We need to understand this is a year God's taken us into the place of authority so we know how to use the power. This year. This year, I've given that to you. Your responsibility is to be fruitful and to multiply. Your responsibility. Not God's, it's yours. You must guard your heart, your minds, and your actions. Stand for righteousness, holiness, and integrity. There will be no room for compromise. And remember whose you are and who you are. Yes. Whose you are and who you are. 2020, I will command the rivers of living water within you to flow according to the purpose you are called. Important we get a hold of that. The rivers flow from the purpose. Yes. Don't allow the enemy to take you out of your purpose. Here's the problem you run into a lot of times. A lot of times we get changed from our purpose because the enemy says, just like he said to Eve, if you try this over here, you're probably going to like it better even though than what God told you what your purpose was. Your purpose was to guard and protect, to till the garden and to guard and protect it from the intruder. But now you're not guarding, protecting from the intruder. You've changed your purpose because the enemy now has got you doing something else rather than what you were here for. Consequently, you lost your authority. This thing this year is about your purpose. Why are you here? What are you designed for? What is the reason you're here? God said, if you operate in that purpose this year, he said, this is the year that you're going to move into that arena that you have never understood before. He goes on to tell us about this year. That is, it is a year, the manifestation of my power and my presence. Manifestation of my power and my presence. I said manifestation.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say manifestation.
Manifestation.
Aren't you tired of just hearing about it?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I want to have it happening.
Amen.
I said I want to have it happening.
That's right.
I like to go places, and I know what God's spoken to me about certain things. I go on assignments now. This is why this is so hard, this service right now. I'm really on an assignment right now. You know, I like to teach Seed Time and Harvest. But I'm on assignment with this message right now. You know, it's like chafing. But I'm being obedient here because God wants us to have this. But it's important that we look at this word of the Lord, that we understand it's the year of manifestation. Yet manifestation is going to require your obedience.
Amen.
I said it's going to require your obedience.
Right.
It's a year of the supernatural harvest. It's a year of transformation. I said it's a year of transformation. He said, I'm moving you from glory to glory. But how many of us are in the same spot as we've been for 10 years?
Whoa.
You ever thought about that? We think the same way. We talk the same. In fact, some of you are wearing the same clothes you wore 10 years ago. Bless your hearts. Some of you got the same underwear you had 10 years ago. I'm not saying much, but you know, I know the nature of the beast. I like them. Okay. You got to transform glory to glory. I can be in the same job, but God can cause that job to create all new ideas, concepts, and strategies. This year, I've got to allow God to change me, to transform me. I got to move into a new dimension. And he said, this year is that year of transformation. This year that my name will be lifted up, I will begin to draw my sons and daughters from afar.
Amen.
Get ready. Your loved ones are coming home.
Amen.
Get ready. I don't care if it's been 20, 30, 40 years. My uncle was an alcoholic. Lost everything. Lived alone because he lived in my grandmother's house. She passed away. He got the house and lived in it alone. He smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day, an alcoholic. And he got saved.
Hallelujah.
My parents witnessed to him for over 40 some years. But the son came home. Somebody got in his life. And the day he got saved, he was instantly delivered from the alcoholism and nicotine. Never drank another drink, never smoked another cigarette. My dad walked into the house one day and he had a bottle up on the thing of Royal Crown, and he had a pack of Pall Mall or a carton of Pall Mall laying on the counter. My dad said, I thought you were free. He says, I leave it up there, and every morning I wake up and say, devil, see what you lost.
Yeah.
This year. Everybody say, this year.
This year.
My God. My. The sons and daughters are coming home. This year, my spirit will bring confusion to the world, strength and favor to those who call on my name. Strength and favor. 2020 will be a year that the sound of my kingdom will be heard. Now you need to get a hold of that, the sound. The sound's a funny thing. The sound is you. You're the sound. It's the sound you make. So you got to decide, what kind of sound am I making right now? What kind of sound do I make at work? What kind of sound do I make at home? What kind of sound do I make to my neighbors? What kind of sound? You got to realize you're the sound. They hear you louder. Your actions speak louder than words. The sound that you're making is the life that you're living. How do I live? Am I walking in the light as he is in the light? And I really believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Am I a person who walks by faith, or am I a person who allows my emotions to overtake me? The sound that I make, I'm making a sound of a victorious person. I'm making a sound that I have a God that I serve that will never leave me or forsake me. I'm making a sound that I serve a God that is going to bless me in my coming in and going out. I make a sound that I'm above and not below. I'm head and not the tail. I make a sound that God is on my side. What sound are you making this year? This is a year that your sound is going to tell the story.
That's right.
Whew, my. A year many battles will be fought. Get a hold of this. But you will have the shout of victory on your lips. Your faith will go through the fire, but it will not be shaken because I will be with you. Psalms 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. We don't even understand that side of it. Can you imagine not having any wants? Wake up in the morning and the moment you say, it would be nice, there it was. I'm beginning, I haven't 100%, but I'm pretty close to it right now. To the point I told my wife, I said, I'm afraid to express anything because sometimes I just say stuff because it looks nice, but it's not really because I want it. I have to be careful, you understand. See, my grandkids are that way around me. They know when they get around Poppy, it don't matter. And I don't care. I spoil them rotten. We're walking through the mall. My grandson says, man, I like those shoes over there. I said, son, they're $180. You're 6 years old. Poppy, I really like them. Okay, come on, let's get them. My son and daughter-in-law, she just gave birth to our little girl, Saya. So I went to the jewelry store and bought her diamond earrings and a necklace. I want her, as she grows up, to know when she marries a man, he's got to take care of her the way Grandpa took care of her. I don't want my grandkids to want. My grandson, Michael, he's a gymnast. He's 10 years old. 2 weeks ago, he was in the state trials. In his age group, at age 10, he became number one in the state. And he's a really incredible kid. Takes after me, of course. But yeah, right. He lost in the meet, in the regional meet for the state. He lost his first exercise on the pommel horse. He messed up and had to stop and start over. And he was in last place. And then he won his next five events. You know why? Because he's a child of God. He knows who he is. He sucked it up. I said, son, suck it up. That's not who you are. He says, I got it, Poppy. And he did. Hallelujah. I shall not want. If I don't want my grandkids to want, how much more does your father not want you to want? And how much more do I see before they get there what they're going to need and make sure it's there? By the time they want it, I've already got it there for them. Come on, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whew, my God. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My God. I'm going to be able to rest and have peace. I'm going to have plenty of water. I'm never going to be in lack. My mind is not going to be so raging. My soul is restored. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Why? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All things are added unto you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, your word and your Holy Spirit, they comfort me. Whew. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the coronavirus. I'm not going to fear any evil. No, we can't. Because Psalms 91 says it won't come nigh your dwelling. But you say, well, what if somebody gets it? It's not my, I can't help you with that. That's up to you. But as for me and my house, we've made a decision. Ain't not going to happen. I said, it's not going to happen. Either my God is or he isn't. And I found a long time ago he is. It's too late to tell me he's not. Because you see, I died with a heart attack, flatlined on the table, and God brought me back. So death means absolutely nothing to me. Been there, done that. It's not all that big of a deal. My wife's been healed of cancer, you understand. So she's been raised up. I've been raised up. We've gone through poverty, and we've been raised out of poverty. We've gone through sickness, been raised out of sickness, gone through every kind of conflict you can think of. So really, day late, dollar short at my house. Sorry. I'm serious. Sometimes you go through the valley and you get, just because you're experiencing things doesn't mean that it's yours. One of the books I'm writing this coming year, finishing up this year, is Knocked Down, Not Out. I got knocked down, but the problem is they didn't knock me out because they can't. So the enemy might knock me down, but he can't knock me out. And because he can't knock me... Some of you are looking at me like I'm awful funny. Paul's the one who wrote that in his writings. And Paul said some really incredible things. He said, I got snake bit, but I didn't die. Take it not strange who follows diverse temptations, tests, and trials. Okay? I got whipped 3 times, one shy of Jesus each time. Boom, boom, boom. But I kept going. I got shipwrecked, but I didn't die. They stoned me. Now, I want you to get a picture of this. Here's the Apostle Paul. They get mad at him. They take him out. The crowd takes him outside of town, and they stone him. Right. Now, you understand when they stone, you got to go to history. They didn't just hit him with a rock. But they stoned him, had to knock him unconscious, and then they stoned him to the point that he was no longer could be seen. He was buried in rocks. And then they go back into town. Now, understand this. Paul says this. There was a messenger from Satan that was sent to buffet me. Okay? It wasn't his eyes. It was a messenger sent to cause him to lose his credibility. But God said, I went to God, and every time, 3 times, God said, my grace is sufficient. Now, grace is not the stuff they're propagating in the religious story on TV. Grace is not, if you will, that which comes into your life and that is undeserving. We teach people unmerited grace. There's no such thing as unmerited grace except in religious circles. Grace is empowerment of God's presence upon the believer of the work of the Holy Spirit in them, which deals with their purpose. Now watch this now. He's under a pile of rocks. They go back in the city and they've done their deed. And outside the city, what they don't know, here comes this arm with blood on it and bruised and been hit. Probably got his face is all beat up, and he pushes a rock over here and he pushes it. He calls all of a sudden, here comes this little man of God climbing out of this pile of rocks, shakes himself like almost a dog would shake himself, goes back in the city and says, you didn't knock me out. You knocked me down, but I'm back. Even though I go through things, it doesn't mean it's God's will, and it doesn't mean I lose. It's because I get knocked down, just because I get snake bitten, just because I get shipwrecked, just because something bad happens to me. I've got a God who's in heaven that he is going to move on my life with supernatural presence and power and glory. And you didn't knock me down. You knocked me down, but you didn't knock me out. I'm back up. What you need to say in the middle of your storm is, I'm back. Yeah. Amen. 2019 was a year of positioning, a year of seeing. 2020 will be a year I'll give you shepherds. According to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding, Jeremiah 3:15. Shepherds, it's important we get this. Let me talk to you about a shepherd for a moment. A shepherd is someone that has been placed over sheep. They're sheep that have been assigned to him. A shepherd is someone that knows you don't scatter sheep. A shepherd is someone that knows that you don't do anything to hurt the sheep. He leaves the 99 and saves the one. The shepherd doesn't bring confusion to the sheep. Doesn't create division in the sheep. Amen. And understand something about this season. It's important we understand anyone that says they are a shepherd that creates division, they are a false shepherd. Amen. Anyone that tries to divide the body of Christ, they are a false shepherd. We had a man years ago in our community that got up and we even found one of our men caught him in our parking lot putting things on the cars, little flyers. about you need to come to our church so we can rescue from this prosperity preacher. I went to the man. I said, listen, man, this is crazy. We're both pastors. Let's talk about this. He says, well, I've got nothing to say to you. If you've got something to say to me, make it an appointment with my secretary. Maybe I got some time I can give you. I said, you know what? It's not going to work, is it? So I came back, and my associate pastors and my elders, they said, what are you going to do? I said, nothing. They said, what do you mean you're not going to do anything? Aren't you going to respond? I said, no. You're not going to answer them? I said, no. Because he got up in his pulpit and preached a whole series of messages about rescue the people from that church that preaches abundant life. Wow. Fascinating, isn't it? And my guy said, you've got to respond. I said, I'm not going to respond. They said, why not? I said, well, I was down praying the other night, and God spoke to me. And he says, it's just a dog barking at the moon. He said, the dog dies, but the moon keeps shining. God always honors the true shepherd. This year, God's given us shepherds that are going to speak to our hearts and into our lives. They're not going to bring division. They're going to bring unity. And this year, they're going to produce insight and understanding and knowledge and understanding. Knowledge will be your seed for change. We need musicians to come, if you're here, please. Knowledge will be your seed for change. Understanding will be your seed for a new foundation. Listening will be your seed for learning. Love will be your seed for acceptance. Honor will be your seed for excess. Serving will be your seed for influence. Giving will be your seed for harvest. And my word will be your seed for territorial ownership. My presence will be your seed of assurance as you face your enemy. I'll read that one more time. Knowledge will be your seed for change. Understanding will be your seed for a new foundation. Listening will be your seed for learning. Love will be your seed for acceptance. Honor will be your seed for access. Serving will be your seed for influence. Giving will be your seed for harvest. My word will be your seed for territory ownership. And my presence will be your seed of assurance as you face your enemy. Look what he says about the shepherd in Psalms 23. I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will anoint your head with oil, and your cup is going to run over. By the way, the word cup, just so to help you, the Hebrew word for cup is not where you put wine or juice or water. The word cup there is your money bag. Did you get that? Let me read it again. I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and your money bag's going to run over. See, that's hard for us, isn't it? You know why? Because it goes against everything the religious group has told us this. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to walk around with $100 bills falling out of your pocket. It means that what your purpose is going to be fully financed. We all do something different. You know, and I don't mean this unkind, but where I'm at, okay, we're in a $24 million building. I don't know what this is. Pastor's been ours. And this is not pat me on the back. I don't mean that because I'm 50 years in ministry this year. So it's not like, oh, wow. I mean, we work to it. But what I want to get across to you, this is where y'all are headed. But understand, what they require here in this church financially is different than what I require. Consequently, because we're both doing what God called us to do, then all the money that's needed for this church is going to come in this church. It won't be as much as in my church because you don't need it. But you're prospering as much as I am. See what I'm saying? It's important we get a hold of this. I learned that. Thank God I got free with that a long time ago. I never regret anybody, and I never want what somebody else has got. I just need to have the overflowing. I need my money bag overflowing where God's called me. I mean, I've got the missions in over in Thailand with the girls and boys home that we have there. We built 12 clinics and 12 feeding programs, and we've rescued over 2,900 kids from child trafficking, and there's some things that you don't understand what I'm saying. So my money bag is a little different than yours. But when you get to that point, yours will be, it's all relative. That's how God works, that we all prosper the same. It's just the prosperity is where we are. And it moves us to the next level, to the next level. And as we grow, it grows with us. So don't misunderstand that teaching. Watch this now. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever. My presence will be your seat of assurance as you face the coronavirus. It's not even my enemy. I think it's a joke. I do. Now, let me explain to those at home before you go emailing and writing and all this nonsense. It's real, but it's not as bad as they say it is. They're lying to you. It'll kill people. Yes, it will. But so do cars every day. Almost 70 million babies have been killed with abortions. Come on, stop it. There's a lot more things this pandemic than this. And the only reason we're doing it is because we don't understand it. So they can use that to influence us. And look what it has done. And it's trying to shut down believers. And I just gave you the word of the Lord for 2020. Either you're going to believe the word of the Lord or you're going to believe the system. As for me and my house, we're going to believe the word of the Lord. Now, with that in mind, for those that are sitting, we're bringing this thing to a conclusion. What is it that the enemy has stolen from you? What dream has he altered? What vision has he shut down? What hope has he dissipated? You ever sit down sometime, coulda, woulda, shoulda? Why don't you go back to that moment? We're not going to live in it. Look at it. Examine it. And now let's bring it up to where we are now. This year. I said this year. Now I'm going to mess some of you up. Our sons and daughters are going to come. Listen, some of your visions is your children. Your calling is your child. It's coming home. Watch this. Vision has no age. Creativity has no age. The anointing has no age. I can be 8 or I can be 68. It doesn't matter how old I am. And we look up, Joshua was over there, and Caleb comes to him and he says, listen, I'm 85. I'm going to go back and take my mountain. Sometimes you got to go back to what you didn't get and say, now it's time to take it. Some of you got to go back and take what's rightfully yours. And this year, God will give you the idea, the concept. Listen, stop allowing it to say it's over. Come on, tell somebody, it's not over. As long as there's a God in heaven, it's not over. As long as there's a dream in my heart, it's not over. As long as there's a desire, it's not over. As long as I can let the Holy Spirit paint a picture on the canvas of my mind to see it, it's not done. This is my season. I'm taking it back. I said, I'm taking back what the enemy has stolen. I'm taking back what God has promised. I'm taking back what God put in my spirit. Isn't it amazing, the children of Israel, everybody over the age of 25 died because they lost the vision of the promised land. Caleb and Joshua kept the vision. He says, it's stayed in my head, nothing has changed. I want to pray for you today. I want you to, again, put your hand over your heart. I want everybody here to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to begin to just allow the Holy Spirit begin to paint a picture upon the canvas of your mind that he wants to show you what you are to recapture. Show you what he's called you for. Let him begin to build that incredible move of his power in your life, that your anticipation is going to outweigh your anxiety, that your hope is going to overcome your defeat, that the strength to rise up is going to be greater than that which knocked you down. This is a season like any the church has ever seen, that God said, I'm going to do what you've never seen in your lifetime. And justify, making us strange. Because I'm telling you, the enemy's going to come against you. Like we're seeing right now, walking through this fire, that we're going to come out because of our faith. And Father, I'm thanking you right now in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in this gathering of believers in this house of his tabernacle. That this family of God is not going to go in lack or wanting. There's going to be a release beyond their wildest imaginations. That Father God, the signs and wonders and miracles, that the favor is going to come, Father God, souls going to be saved. But Father, this year they're going to experience a supernatural favor and blessing of prosperity upon their lives. That they will find themselves, no matter what they're doing, at the top of the list. Because they're going to walk in more favor and more power than anyone that they stand with. Because God, if you be for them, who can be against them? Father, I thank you right now that crooked path already is beginning to be made straight in the name of Jesus. I thank you the streams, the rivers are beginning to flow, Father God, in those four different directions. And Father God, it's going to bring increase. Father God, it's going to happen quickly and fast. And Father, rapidly it's going to move along. And Father, fruit is going to come into their lives. I'm releasing that anointing right now upon this household. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare it. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a celebration. I cannot tell you. I've never delivered a word in our church like even what I shared today in all the years of ministry. And you know, you got to live by the word. You know, people say you die by the sword. I live by the word. And I thank God we're already seeing God do some supernatural things. We had a little lady in our church that worked at a bank, and she was a vice president of the bank. Got a hold of the word. She said, that night I got a hold of it. And what we did that word, because this year, what we do right now, it establishes a place that we're moving to for the next decade. It's the beginning of a new decade. And God said, what we do this year is going to establish the foundation for the rest of the decade. You got to get that in your spirit. So she said, I was there New Year's Eve night. What we do New Year's Eve night, we always sow a first fruit seed. First fruit seed of what you're believing for. And we do it like in our place. I do one for all of my grandkids as well as my children as well as my wife and I. So it's kind of it's always pretty large seed for us, you know. And so I know going in every year that, you know, we're believing God for the new year. And that we want to establish ourselves. And so I'm going to challenge you to sow a seed today. We're going to sow it for your future. We're going to sow it for the decade. And what you sow, Pastor asked me, he said, go ahead and take the offering for yourself. It's for our ministry, Seed of Harvest Ministries. It's not going in my pocket. I'm not buying a car. I'm not buying suits. I'm none of the above. But what you sow today will go into ministry. We've heard some of the ministries we talked about earlier, what we have ongoing. We send checks every month to support those ministries. One of our favorite outreaches, though, is the Fire Bible, which is a Bible that has been designed for full gospel Pentecostal people that is much like a day study Bible, but it's a Pentecostal study Bible. And I've had the privilege that as they've done it, it's done by the Assemblies of God, but that my friend of mine, he's in charge of it for them. He's even taken some of our notes on seed time and harvest and stuff and put in that Bible. So I'm very fond of that. But the point is, we take it in the third world countries and places that don't have study Bibles. We were in Burma just 2 years ago, and we presented a Fire Bible to them. We gave 5,000 Bibles to them, and with the study Bible we gave to them. And they were walking out literally because Burma's a communist place. They don't have a lot of Bibles, don't have a lot of things. And the pastors are walking out like this with the Bible. They're literally like this, weeping. With this Bible, I'm going, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I mean, tears just flowing down. This is the greatest gift that they could ever have. Some of them have only had pages. They've never had a Bible. Some came over from China. And we gave that to them, and I had the privilege to be there for 2 days, 3 days. I taught the pastors, you know, about 400 pastors I taught at the Word of God. And then we gave them the Bibles, made the presentation. And this year in January, we're going back to do one of the Bibles over in Thailand to the Akha tribe. And I've asked Pastor if he would go with me and he'd be able to minister with us and be a part of that and be a part of what we're doing. But it's incredible because when we left Burma, 2 weeks after we left, which is Myanmar now. We call it Burma. It's now Myanmar. When we left, 2 weeks after we left, the government, the communist government, passed a law. They could not give out or sell any Christian literature. But they were too late. Amen. We'd already given 5,000 Bibles out. I had the privilege last year to be in Vietnam and to sit there with 500 pastors in Vietnam for 3 days teaching them. And then to give these Bibles out. We don't understand here in America. We got 4, 5, 10, some of those Bibles at home. I don't know how many I got at home. We don't even realize the precious word for what it really is. But these people, they live by it. And so we present it. It takes us about 4 years to get a translation done. Because it's not just the Bible. You can get the Bible done itself. But with the study notes and everything. So that they can understand it from the Greek and the Hebrew. As well as the history and all of those things that you get in college or seminary. But they have no access to it. It takes anywhere from $375,000 to $450,000 to get it translated and prepared. And then we give them to our first. We always give them, we go in, the Bibles. And then if they want them later, if other people want to buy and sell them, they can. And we make them available too. We're going back doing some reprintings now. But I'll never forget, my wife and I, we were sitting in Atlanta, Georgia, and they got at me talking about Vietnam. And they said, we've been working on this. The government finally has given us the release, but we're $47,000 short. And the thrill of my life is my wife leaned over next to me. She says, honey, we've got that in the ministry account. We'll do it. And write that check for $47,000 that God knows how many lives. I only know when I stand before Jesus. Every seed you sow, there's an accountability. So I'm going to ask you to partner with me today to sow a seed with me. You say, well, how much you want us to give? I want you to give as much as you can give. I have no shame about it. Because it's not about me. It's not going to buy me a meal. It's not going to, you understand what I mean? This is ministry time. Come on. This is gospel time. And so I'm unashamedly sharing with you about this. And I'm going to ask you to sow as large a seed as you possibly can. Because I believe what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. I believe when you give for the sake of the gospel, you have a right to anticipate full capacity of the harvest that seed can produce. So you can sow whatever you can. If you sow 100, 50, 2, 1, a penny, 1,000, 10,000, I don't care. But everybody, I'm going to ask you to sow a significant seed and partner with us today. And I'll have pastors share with you next week exactly what you gave. Is that fair? Because don't you make checks out to his tabernacle? They will make one check to us. Because everything will go through your pastors. And they will let you know. Because I want you to know that you sowed a seed for the kingdom of God. And you need to be aware of that as a church. Because I believe we're setting the standard for the next decade. Amen. And what we do collectively and what we do individually is going to establish that decade ahead of us. So I'm going to challenge you today. We can hand out the envelopes if you would, please. I guess y'all have envelopes where they are. Is that correct? And so I'm going to ask you to prepare that. And I'm excited because I'm declaring this season, this year, that wherever I go, every seed that is sown is going to come back in full capacity. The anointing of the Holy Spirit that has blessed my wife and I all these years is going to be upon everyone that dares to partner with us. And so I thank you and I love you. And Pastor, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Isn't it great having our bishop in the house? I want to remind you that Empower Summit starts tomorrow night. Pastor Jim Raley will be here. Tuesday night, Bishop will be speaking again. Then Wednesday night, I'll be finishing it out. It's mainly a pastors and leaders conference, but if you would like to come to the evening services, it's a $29 registration. Go to empoweringpastors.com, and I know that that will be a blessing to you. And are you ready to give? They should be in your chairs. So your seed envelopes are in your chairs. Fill them out. I'm going to have the ushers come forward. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest seed you can give is your life. You see, Jesus already gave the greatest seed to get the greatest harvest. What is the greatest harvest? You. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He seeded his Son so that the harvest, which is your life, he can call you a son and a daughter of the Most High. So today, if you do not know Jesus and you would like him in your heart, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not asking you to join a church or religion, but I want you to know Jesus, the Savior, the seed that produces your life. Does anybody out there want to receive Christ? I'm not going to wait real long. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, that there will never allow fear to run or capitalize in our families, God, or in this house, in Jesus' name. Father, this sowing that we're doing right now, we know that we're going to be able to bring Bibles, Lord Jesus, to pastors and to men and women that, Father, have never had a Bible in their hand. And we declare, God, that this seed will bring back financial blessing, salvation in your families, God, in every aspect of their life. The blessings will chase you down and trip you up because you're a child of God. So we speak blessing. Lord, let us have a phenomenal day in the sunshine. Let us enjoy what you have blessed us with. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Have an awesome day. Make sure you bring your seed down. If you didn't want to raise your hand, but you want to receive Jesus, Mindy's going to make your way right on over here. She'll meet with you and pray with you. Have an awesome week.